This is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
Josh, you seem deep in thought. What are you thinking about?
God, Nicole, I'm trying to understand the art of pasta, pork, chicken, and lamb.
I think I have someone who can help us out with that.
Wait, really? Is he a happy, hungry man traveling all across the sea and the land?
Yeah!
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scher.
And I'm your host, Nicole Iniedi.
And today we are joined by a very special guest, Phil Rosenthal. Phil's the award-winning creator and most lovable host of Netflix's most popular food and travel show, Somebody Feed Phil. He also co-hosts a podcast called Naked Lunch that Nicole and I are excited to be guests on soon. Phil?
F-H-I-L.
Phil, welcome to the studio.
Nice to be here. Thanks for that lovely intro.
Have you had lunch yet?
I have had a tuna fish sandwich.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about this tuna fish sandwich. Sing us a song.
I'm here to say a tuna fish sandwich is a sandwich.
100%.
Right?
We can all agree on that.
Should we get right into it?
Sure. If you want to talk about if a hot dog is a sandwich, you're more than welcome.
We're on your podcast, though. Yeah. Let's do it.
I think a hot dog's a sandwich.
There's objective truth in the world, right?
I mean, let's clarify. A hot dog is a sandwich, but that sandwich is called a hot dog.
Phil, I used to be just like you. For anybody who has not listened to our five-part series that we just did, please go back and listen to it because this clarified more things in my life.
It is a type of sandwich.
Well,
and we call this particular sandwich a hot dog.
I'm sorry.
I would, though, argue then.
I don't
what...
agree with you. I'm sorry. I'm not making eye contact with you on
by
purpose.
By the way, Nicole is like... She won't look at me.
No, she's stoning you out. Dude, she gives me the silent treatment.
We're done.
I can't.
We just met and we're finished.
Just with this conversation. If you want to talk about something else, we can stare at each other.
I'm not talking to you anymore. Maggie, can you turn off the freaking cameras?
Jesus.
I'm somebody who
I've never met a person like this.
I'm normally very charming.
This isn't even politics.
No,
this
is hot dog. I thought this was going to be safe. Oh, you're going on this nice thing. Hot dog is a sandwich. This woman's going to kill me.
Phil, you have no idea what we've been through over the last 5 weeks, okay?
We almost got a friend divorce.
We had a lawyer.
We had
talked
a lawyer
about this with a lawyer.
That we were considering a friend divorce, but we reconciled.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, we actually care about each other.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a psycho.
That's what I'm saying,
oh
man.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if she passed the background check.
There was no background check. I just waltzed in and they're like, you're hired.
Yeah, she interviewed once for 15 minutes and we're like, well, who else are we going to give the job?
But wait, Josh, you said you had a philosopher weigh in on this. Like, what would he land
on? Oh, but he's a philosopher. They're like leprechauns.
So he didn't land on...
calling our guests leprechauns. I don't like it.
You can call me one. I'd be very happy.
No, you're not a leprechaun.
I ate Lucky Charms earlier.
Phil, you host a fantastic show
That's
on
true.
Netflix.
You do.
And what I found in my travels, and one of the great things about traveling the world, is finding the equivalents of things that we have here.
Yes.
So I found that every culture has their equivalent of a sandwich. They like to every handheld thing, sure, whether it's in a lettuce wrap or a roll or a thing, it's their sandwich.
Well, let me ask a question then.
Yeah.
Why do we need to say sandwich? Why can't we just say handheld thing? Because my official proposal, because all these things,
because it's not as sexy to say handheld.
I say,
but I'd like our own word.
Tuna and rye handheld thing.
Yes.
You say.
Oh my God, I would love to
say
that.
I say love.
Give me a hand food. Simply a
hand food doesn't
food?
Sound good either. Although that is in Hawaii, I think they have hand. They literally say hand foods. I think so.
Do they?
People, tell me if I'm wrong.
I think that would solve the entire problem, because the name for a sandwich before sandwich was meat and bread.
That's
Shakespeare writes about meat and bread. You would go to a vendor who's yelling, meat and bread, meat and bread. You'd go, give me one meat and bread. And they existed for 100 years.
Inbred or inbred?
Not inbred meat.
Meat inbred.
But meat in bread is pretty much the definition of a type of sandwich, isn't it?
I thought you were saying in bread.
No,
like
not in bread.
Like intermarriage. Uh-oh.
Your meat is in the bread. That's a sandwich, right? Not inbred people.
My mind went
cows. The wild card of the group.
Yeah,
welcome.
I don't know. This,
it, you're not saying inbred meat. Meat in this bread holder.
I used to write about a lot of animal husbandry, and I went and saw some of it in person. They're all related, right? The pigs? Wait, talk to me about these international sandwiches, and talk to me about like finding cultural similarities everywhere you go.
Well, like the bao.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned the bao. Mm-hmm. That is, I never thought about it, but that's their handheld food. It's like their sandwich. A friend of mine recently made me, where was it? Oh, in Portland, Oregon.
Mm.
Peter Cho made
food city.
Made a burger, cheeseburger bao.
Mm.
Holy cow, is that good?
I'm sure.
Wow.
Sounds
and it,
delicious.
It kind of reinvented burgers just because it's a closed-end roll,
yeah,
right?
Well, is that a sandwich or a dumpling?
You know, it's both.
It's both.
It's both.
I think at some point when you try and classify things too much, which is the entire point of our podcast,
yes,
I think you
ruin it.
You go around
it. It's like,
yeah,
you know what it's like? What you're doing right here?
What?
It's like the equivalent of explaining a joke.
Yeah.
You kill the joke.
Yeah, if you go at it
too hard. You've killed hot dogs for me now.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to do that.
And I love hot dogs.
I want you to hold hot dogs on a higher pedestal. That's what I want. That's what I want everyone to do. I am a Hebrew National girl.
Nice.
Mm. Born and raised.
I heard they were sold. I heard they're not going to be kosher anymore. I heard that.
I heard that too.
What's going to happen?
I don't know. I'm still going to love them.
They sold to a Brazilian meat.
What do you mean you're still going to love them?
I'm still going to eat them. They're delicious.
I can tell you the worst one.
Okay, go for it.
Dodger dog.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They're bad. They're bad.
That's in my religion, that's called a shanda.
A shanda, yes.
A shame.
I always go to the kosher hot dog line instead.
They
the
have
Dodger
the
Stadium.
Brooklyn version.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
people from New York who came here,
mm-hmm.
and many of us did,
mm-hmm.
had their regular Dodger dog and wanted to die. It's a limp.
0% beef.
It's a limp, horrible, skinless, lukewarm bologna of a product.
I agree.
And it has no snap, which is, as we know, essential.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Agreed.
It's so friggin'. I don't want to curse on your show.
Dude, Phil, don't
friggin'
do
is
we're
fine.
Lose.
Friggin' is fine.
I'm so close to cursing.
Phil, just comment down. Is there anything
that's so terrible? I have a nightmare about the
doctor. It looks like a migraine is about
really,
to take over your body right now.
I don't know
now.
How these people get away with this.
But
that just shows you that a good time is related to a childhood memory, right?
Yes.
It's like those Pixar movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are core memories for people. It doesn't matter that the hot dog is awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's associated with my first trip to Dodger Stadium with my dad.
Yeah.
So I love it.
Yeah.
And I love the Dodger dog. And don't say anything bad about a Dodger dog. But I'm telling you, people, don't eat that.
Unless you have a memory tied to it.
No, even then.
Even then.
You have
kill
to
your gods,
you have to know.
I don't want to kill anybody.
Kill
why
your
are you
gods.
Talking about killing gods and stuff? I just want to go eat a good hot dog somewhere. But I just think hot dogs deserve their place in the world as being its own standalone thing. And I think putting it into a taxonomy, what is it, taxonomy?
Yeah.
Putting
that's
it in like taxonomy is just exhausting. And we don't need to do it anymore. We don't need it.
I once ate 11 Dodger dogs at one baseball game. I should have did.
That is absolutely disgusting.
Thank you so much.
Why don't you go to Nathan's and do that contest?
We just got back. Well, I didn't compete, but we went to interview Joey Chestnut about whether or not a hot dog is a sandwich. He, of course, says no. But I also asked Joey Chestnut to coach me in how to eat a hot dog as fast as I could.
And
it was so awkward and embarrassing that the Nathan's Hot Dog mascot had to usher me away from him.
It was really embarrassing.
In a way that I've never been lower on a social totem pole than a man in a hot dog suit until that day. And then I was. And I saw him without his hot dog suit later. And he was like, hey, sorry, man. And I was like, it's all good. I probably deserved it. Joey Chestnut had a broken, he had a torn Achilles, yeah. And he was really suffering.
He also had a blood vessel popped in.
Yeah, and we really
maybe hot dogs aren't the healthiest food.
Maybe
to eat 70 of in 10 minutes. That's disgusting.
I had a great time at this Dodger game. They have.
I hate when this thing I love,
yes,
food in general, is turned into any kind of competition.
And oh, so you're not a cooking competition show fan at all? Interesting.
Nope. When they first came out, I was kind of interested.
Yeah,
and I did like the ones with Padma.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
it might be because of her.
Yeah, she's,
but I like that show.
She's very talented,
and I like Colicchio, and I like the whole thing. And for a season or two, I was interested, and then I had enough.
Yeah,
I don't want to disparage that show. It's just for me, I see cooking and great restaurants and great chefs as artists. Art, it's an art form.
Yeah.
Even a hot dog.
Sure.
Right?
100%.
Can be, you know, when you have a great one. To me, my favorite thing is when somebody elevates the very simple food from our childhood.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And makes it the best thing you ever had. I think that goes right to the core of my memories as a kid. And it becomes this the most favorite, the most special thing is taking that burger, that hot dog, that pizza. That's something that we know very, very well.
Sure.
And now it's the best you ever had. Why? Because of the ingredients and the talent of the person making
them. Of course. I don't watch any cooking shows.
No?
I try to – because I work – because I produce so much cooking content.
You do.
It's exhausting for me to go home and click on and see people cooking.
And it's tedious, right? It's like make work almost.
I sit there and I cross my arms and I'm like, they shouldn't have edited that way. Like, why did they do the potatoes like that?
Oh, so they've ruined food for you.
They haven't ruined food. I loved Somebody Feed Phil. And like, I like travel shows like that because it's not as intense.
Not a cooking show.
It's not a cooking show. It's an eating show.
Very little process involved. I'm not interested.
Like yeah.
It's like you like magic.
I love magic.
Okay,
how'd you
so
know?
What if somebody come out and before they did the trick for you, they showed you how they make the trick.
No.
End of magic.
The magic goes away.
The magic goes away. So nothing I love more than you sit down in Bangkok and they give you a plate of food. Surprise.
Yeah. But you don't think that, because I've gone through this over and over. I used to be a food journalist.
Yes.
And my whole job was to figure out the techniques and the methods and the regions and the history behind everything. And I was worried that I was ruining food for myself because I would go eat a meal and I'd be like, that plating technique is so 4 years ago. Oh my God. Oh, you're putting the sturgeon
leaves? I knew he was going to bring up the sturgeon leaves. I knew it. He always does.
But it's the overanalyzation.
But I also think that that has heightened the best of the best experiences for me. And it's created a sort of sine curve as opposed to, like, I have no room in my life for mediocre food anymore, which has given me a sense of clarity. Nicole, I've gone clear.
Wow, you're a nerd.
I am such
a nerd. But isn't it hard?
Oh my God.
I like it. I like people who get very into things they like.
Yeah.
And so I like you. And I like you. I liked you.
You like me. Stop it. You like me.
I do. I'm afraid of you a little.
Yeah,
I like
it happens.
You.
It's fine.
She's weaponized fear.
But I what was I going to say? I love the surprise. I don't want to ruin the surprise. And if you overstudy and overanalyze, and maybe if I do Somebody Feed Phil for too many years, what if I don't like travel anymore? What if I am so particular because I've had the best of the best that I don't like it? I'm not there yet. I still, here's how I feel. I'm the luckiest guy you're ever going to have on this damn show. I am
the opposite
luckiest
of a schlemazel?
What's a schlemazel? I don't speak Yiddish.
A schlemiel is the one who spills soup. A schlemazel is the one who it lands on.
That's right. Oh. Very, very Jewish of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. You. Oh, this whole room Jews, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah. I
knew I felt comfortable.
With my, with
Let me complain for a while.
Let's kvetch over here.
You know how Tucci says... Tucci says, I'm Italian on both sides. My name is Stanley Tucci. I'm Italian on both sides. And I'll be exploring my heritage. So I would like to come out once on my show and say, my name is Phil Rosenthal, and I'm Jewish on both sides, and I'd like to spend the rest of the hour complaining.
The lights are too hot. Can we turn them down?
Yes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So what are we talking about? Oh,
we're talking about food we're going to get tired of food eventually.
No, we won't. We have to. And okay. I think the secret to this is to not overanalyze.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I always overanalyze. I'm a senior culinary producer. My job is to analyze.
Okay.
And overanalyze and expect things to go wrong and to make sure nothing goes wrong.
Okay. But then when you go home, don't you want to kind of disconnect that part of your head?
Oh, she drinks.
Yeah.
That's how we solve it. We
drink. Don't embarrass me in front of my new friend who scared me
last week.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
By the way, I don't think you're alone in this.
Well, I'm curious because you had a completely separate career from food.
That's right.
Obviously, showrunner and creator of everybody.
It was completely tied to food.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I did a show once before I had Raymond. I was on a hit show. I won't name the show. But that show, they sent a memo around, okay? This was a hit show on a big network, on the official stationery of the show. We noticed some of you are coming in the morning and putting milk on your cereal. The milk is for coffee. The cereals are for snacks. We do not provide breakfast for you. Please do not put milk on your cereal.
Oh,
I don't like that.
Can you believe
it?
And I read this and I said, right then and there, if I'm ever lucky enough to have my own show, we're going to have milk on our cereal.
One can dream.
Amen.
And we did. We had the best, ask anybody, the best craft service in town because the army travels on its stomach. Mm. And I knew that if I'd been on shows where the craft service table, you know, for those of you who don't know, craft service table is the table set up usually on the set or at the office where they have the snacks for people during the day. And if there's just crap like chips or candy or gum or whatever it is, you grab it and you go on your way. Mm. And you overdo it because that's the only respite from the work and
sure.
you do it. But what if the food was fabulous on the craft service table? What if once in a while deli from New York was flown in? What if Ann Sather's cinnamon rolls from Chicago were brought in and they were hot?
Oh, my God.
What if when Krispy Kreme donuts first came out and you can get hot, fresh ones on the table? What if taco trucks were brought onto the soundstage during shoot night and people were – this is before the whole truck craze even. I'm telling you, you create such goodwill. You literally create a family by having decent food for people.
I agree.
So it's a way of showing love.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
We had Bill Oakley on the podcast.
I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
Fantastic. I mean, loves food. Loves the type of food that I love, especially with all the fast
food. And hilarious
food.
Simpsons.
Utterly sure. hilarious. And he showed how food can be a way to show spite because he was talking how all of the writer's room lunches during The Simpsons when, you know, they were famously crapping on Fox all the time with all the jokes in there and Fox couldn't do anything
because
it was such a hit show.
Yeah.
And he said he used to just order like 10 lobster tails, 5 shrimp cocktails, a couple steaks on lunch, and they would just make a game of running up the lunch tab as much as possible until forcing somebody to come in and, you know, set institutional sort of limits on that thing.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And so I never did that. I never took advantage that way.
Yeah.
Although I will say that for a long while, if you're a writer, you know, I always say that the writer's room is like a veal pen, and the only sunshine coming in the room is the menu where we're going to order lunch from. And this was so important to me, this moment of the day, that I named my production company Where's Lunch.
I love that.
It's the writer's main preoccupation, awesome. Right? And so we would order literally whatever we wanted. We didn't go crazy like over-ordering like these people for spite. But if somebody said, is anyone getting dessert? Which dessert should we get? I would say all of them, because we have to try them all. And then you know what happened? I gained about 30 pounds.
We've had certain catering places that we just can't go to anymore because of lack of productivity.
Yes.
And not this isn't coming down from a boss. This is everybody got together and said, hey, when we get Pinocchio down the street in Burbank and just get the penne alla vodka and the mozzarella and the eggplant parm.
Oh, it's great. It's just the fall asleep biggest, afterwards.
It's the type of tray of pasta that stays warm for 9 hours, like the Hanukkah miracle. Wow. You know what I mean? There's just so much latent heat in there. What?
That was 8 days.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, you get a bigger pasta. But yeah, we would literally eat so much of it that we were just like, we can't simply go back to work after this. We need something. And so now we use a carrot and a stick where we like to introduce lunch austerity measures. And it's like, you get a salad from Sweet Green, no dressing. That's it. Keep working. That's our style here, Phil.
You say that?
No,
we don't say that. It's just it's encouraged because we work on a cooking show and we make so much food that is just the most wild, ostentatious, huge stuff you can imagine.
Yes.
That your lunch can't mirror that because your content that you're eating is just so delicious and so decadent.
That's true.
Yes.
That it's not fair to like do that twice in a day or three times in a day, depending on how much content we're shooting. So
I was at our relationship with food. We just kind of need you to be our therapist here at this point.
Yeah.
Phil,
yeah.
Don't really
do you have doctor in front of your name?
Can you both lie down?
I'm already sweating so much.
That's the best
thing. I was at the gym the other day and I was kind of audibly burping up food. Mm-hmm. And the gym coach was like, well, what? Thank you so much. Some people on the internet find me very... and I was burping up food, and the owner of the gym goes like, what'd you have for lunch, man? I was like, pretty light day. We had chicken parm, penne alla vodka, beef chow fun, a little bit of rice because I'm going low carb. Oh, orange chicken. What? Oh, and then there was a whole wedding cake. Oh, the chocolate lava cake. That was really good. But then the mint ice cream cake, that really cleansed the palate, and a Diet Coke. And that was a normal day, Phil.
That's a normal day
for us. And so for us, you know, when we order lunch, I don't know, we've almost taken the sacredness out of especially lunch for us because we're locked in here with – there were just 30 breakfast sandwiches in the kitchen about an hour ago.
That's
and
right.
I just picked one up and ate half of it in one bite with no regard, thinking nothing of it. You know?
You're young yet.
No, it's fair.
You'll see.
It's fair.
We'll both see. We'll see.
But I just walked through your office just for 10 seconds, and I saw a beautiful spread for lunch for everybody who works here. It looked fantastic.
They do provide for us.
That's so nice.
I will say we used to have a dedicated craft services cook who would just be making food for us all the time, and she was from Poland. Her name was Monika.
Yeah.
And she would make... For my birthday, Phil, she made me a giant pierog. Pierogi is plural, as I learned from Monica.
Right.
Pierog
is the
one.
Singular.
That's right.
She put a candle in it. It was filled with bacon and mushrooms and cheese and potato. Phil, it was the pierog supreme.
I think you got to marry this lady.
I go, where's Monica? If you're listening, baby, come back. She was following her dream of being
I married a Monica.
Yeah?
I did, yeah.
Is it the same?
She don't make that
Polish?
For me.
Is she?
No.
How's her borscht?
Phil, she has other things.
It would be incredibly stupid to ask you to rank countries.
So here we go.
So here we go. If you had to.
My favorite?
What are your favorite?
Get Italy.
Top five.
Italy.
Number one.
Yeah.
No question.
I say it all the time when people ask what's your favorite. Italy. You been?
Okay. I've been once, but I went on a Contiki tour, which is like a trip I went with like girlfriends. So I went to Italy for like one day. And then I also went to...
A day?
Yeah, I only went to which Venice. Part? Just Venice. Just for one day.
Were you on a cruise ship?
No, it was a big bus full of 18 to 35 year olds, and we went on like a big tour of like Europe for 12 days.
Was it a bachelorette party?
No, it was a young people tour. And I went with some girlfriends and
so Italy gets a day.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back. I promise you I'm going back next summer. I've already decided.
I don't want to talk to you until then.
What? What do
no,
you mean?
No, I want you have to
I've been other places.
Tell me your favorite.
Young woman. My favorite place, I don't know if I have a favorite place. My last place was Costa Rica. Costa Rica was really nice.
I haven't been there.
I went for my honeymoon.
You win.
And I loved it.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
And are you still married?
Oh, yes. So, it's actually my anniversary in like a week. My 1 year Holy anniversary. Smokes.
Oh, yeah. 1 year. Yeah. That's so cute.
Thanks.
You have no idea what's coming.
Yay.
And you, what's your favorite country?
Oh, I thought you were asking if I'm married. No, I have a fiance. My favorite country, I think some of the best food I've ever had was in Tel Aviv.
I gotta say, that's up there.
Oh my gosh.
The food in Israel, not only is it some of the best in the world, it's now taking over the world. You see the food influence everywhere. Like I was in Copenhagen, they had a falafel stand. It's tremendous. People lose their minds when they go to Israel. They can't believe how great the food is.
One of the best things I've ever eaten, and this sounds like weirdly pretentious in that minimalist way, was just picking a cherry tomato off of a tree. Or what is it, a bush? A vine. That's what tomatoes grow on.
That's not pretentious.
It was unreal. It was
what? That's nature.
There is incredible.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But yeah, the agriculture there is.
And they're so incredibly proud of inventing the cherry tomato in this week. You know, Israel invented the drip irrigation and the
Sherry's
tomato is what they kept calling it.
Sherry?
And so the Sherry's tomato in Israel. But also, I mean, I had the Jerusalem mixed grill. One of the most incredible. Unreal, man.
Incredible.
And they were
Stekiat Hatzot, I remember, is the best.
It's in
chicken
the
in a pita I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken in a pita. A sandwich?
Sandwich-like.
No. The proto sandwich. This is a proto sandwich.
Okay, you're right. It is a proto sandwich because it predates the Earl of Sandwich.
Thank
yes,
you.
Correct.
I fully believe this.
Correct.
Nice.
I have one last question. My fiance and I have a bit of travel anxiety.
Yeah,
we've talked about all of us being Jewish. I've gotten a little bit of the neuroticism where I don't want to feel like a burden on somebody. You know what I mean? And so I feel nervous when I don't speak the language that everybody hates me.
Right.
And so I am trying to plan a trip with my fiance.
Yes.
Another Jew.
How about
a braver one?
How about a honeymoon?
Well, then
he has to get married first.
Because she won't marry me unless we go on a big international trip together to know that I can hang.
That's a good rule.
Yeah. By the way, that you're marrying a very smart person.
I know.
Because that's the true test of a relationship is to travel with someone. Because
you totally
think
agree.
About it, you're never thrown together more with
you're
someone
right.
than
mm-hmm.
when you travel. Because even if you live together,
mm-hmm.
see you later, honey. I'm going to work. I'm going to work. And
of
then
course.
you meet up at night and that's it.
Yeah.
Right? But traveling, your job is to be with that person the whole day and be with them at night and every meal.
How do I not screw it up?
I'll tell you. When you go on this trip, at least one day, at least one, maybe two or three, depending on how long the trip is, you go off by yourself. You guys have to split up for some time. It gives you a tiny break. And when you meet again for lunch or dinner, you got something to talk about.
Oh, that's smart.
You see?
That's
what'd you do?
Smart.
What'd you do?
That's
right?
Very smart.
I say, I met a beautiful woman. Goodbye, Monica.
Julia, you heard that? You heard that from Phil Rosenthal. We got to see other people, baby. I love you so much.
Oh, no.
No, it's very important. I think Monica would be the first person, my Monica, would be the first person to tell you, oh, yeah, you need a break. Right?
I agree entirely.
Right.
Well, thank you for saving my relationship, Phil.
I'm glad I could be of use. It's not all hot dogs here.
That's right.
Hot dog is a sandwich.
That's right.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Nicole and Phil, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
Some sometimes crazy stuff happens. That's called a cold open, Nicole. We're talking cockroach infestations, bowling balls on fire, aliens abducting puppies. We've all been there. In those situations, a positive outlook can be a game changer, which is why we're excited to tell you about Mythical's new card game called We're Still Good.
That's right. Grab a group of friends and see who can play the best missing words to ridiculous disasters and find the most positive spin on the terrible scenario.
Phil, did we sell you on the card game?
All right, tone it down a little.
I know, but you know what it is?
Trying to be genuine.
High energy. It's got to be high energy. The people got to know.
Yeah, don't get so excited. It's a card game.
Yeah, we'll do another read.
Okay, a little bit slower.
Always show running.
A little
show
bit slower.
Always show running, you know what I mean? All right, Nicole, you
brought
out
the Don Rickles in me.
I'll go ahead. So Austin F. Wheeler says, margarine is a better condiment. Butter is a better ingredient. How do you feel about that?
That's stupid.
Roast him, Phil. You seem
margarine, but under no circumstances is margarine better for anything than butter. I think people know that.
I feel like, Nicole, our ancestors suffered through enough margarine so that we could eat butter.
True,
yeah,
right?
We grew up on it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm older than you, so that was like a thing. And then this thing about trans fat came out and, you know, it could kill you.
Yeah.
Why is anyone having margarine anymore? Unless they really have an anti-dairy thing,
allergy,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or they're like vegan. But I'm a total butter hardo. I love butter more than margarine.
Butter,
I don't even touch margarine anymore.
Olive oil if you have a problem, right?
True.
I like margarine if you think about it as like grape Jolly Ranchers are to grapes as margarine is to butter. I like it for that. It has that extra
shouldn't eat those
butter.
Either.
Fair enough.
He's right.
All right. We got at Spiciest Nugget. Tomatoes are the most offensive ingredient to a standard vegetable salad. The last thing I want in my mouthful of crunchy, crisp veggies is a wet pocket of pulp goo. I love them in other contexts, though. Anti-raw tomato in a salad.
That's stupid.
That's still right. That's what I'm saying.
You don't want a bad tomato, obviously.
True.
You know what the worst thing you can do to a tomato is?
Hmm.
Put it in the fridge.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Did you know that? Mm. You should never put a tomato in a fridge, even if it's half sliced. Never, ever, because what happens? All the flavor goes away.
Really? Wait,
yes.
So I know you shouldn't put it in a fridge if you want it to ripen, of course. But I had perfectly ripe tomatoes that I'm using tonight, and I put them in the fridge last night.
What, are you crazy?
I don't know, man. No one told me.
I'm but telling you now.
If they're on the vine.
Look it up. Go look online.
So, Maggie.
What's your producer doing?
Maggie.
I think any good chef will tell you never put a tomato in a fridge.
We're not good chefs.
Not good
if we're being honest, we're not good chefs.
Okay.
I think you are.
I think we're all right.
Don't take my word for it. I want you to look on the World Wide Web.
But do after they've already ripened.
Yes, okay.
Because a perfectly ripe tomato in season is, and I had a Jersey tomato in Jersey for the first time.
Yeah, beautiful.
Unreal
good. When you pick that off the vine and it's still warm.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, man.
Is that beautiful?
It's sensual. It's like, I think, you know, the essence of a fruit, tomato being a fruit, depending on your definition, of course.
Is a tomato a fruit?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Like, the essence of it is that squishiness. It's the ripe peach with the juice dripping down, leaning into it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, the decay is sexy.
I love a good tomato.
I have a peanut butter opinion. You guys want to listen?
I love peanut butter.
Oh, I'm
What's
sorry.
It say?
Are you pointing?
What's
what are you
it
pointing
say?
At?
How to store a tomato? What
this
does it say?
This is Serious Eats, Phil. They're serious about
and
these.
What do they say?
They say refrigerate any unconsumed fully ripe tomatoes, but allow them to come to room temperature before serving. So they're saying once they hit ripeness, put them in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
But don't
never
put them in the fridge if they're underripe. And that's what I've been going off.
I see. But I
can
think
you tell
even
me that I'm a good chef, Phil? Can you please?
You're a great chef.
Thank you, Phil. Nicole, you're...
Okay, I'm going to speak now, if that's okay with you, Josh. Just the chip underscore Jake says, peanut butter is the bacon of the dessert world, used as a crutch.
That's stupid.
You can't just say that's stupid to everything.
Can. You can't even Phil Rosenthal. What the hell are you talking about,
Nicole? You've got to extrapolate. You have to explain
peanut
why.
Peanut butter is phenomenal. One of my favorite combos in the world is peanut butter and chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I actually helped collaborate on a flavor of ice cream in New York.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Cafe Panna in New York?
No.
Let me plug this place. Okay. You go to New York?
We just got back from New York,
I'm dying. It's so good.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe you went somewhere for more than a day.
Dude, I've traveled plenty.
I'm so excited for you. Next time you're in New York, you go to the Village and you go to Cafe Panna. My friend Hallie Meyer.
Okay.
She her dad's Danny Meyer, the famous chef.
Oh, sure.
Restaurateur. He sent her over to Tuscany to learn about making ice cream when she was a teenager, and she learned all about gelato. And she came back. She took that knowledge of how to make artisanal ice cream and gelato in the service of her, I'm going to say, six-year-old brain that loves Ben and Jerry's.
Yes, sure.
And so it's this artisanal mix-in ice cream that's so crazy. And we collaborated on a flavor called Somebody Scoop Phil.
Yum.
And it's chocolate peanut butter Twix bar based.
Delicious.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Anyway, peanut butter is not a crutch. It's an essential is my point. Butter. It's great. You have a favorite?
Yeah. I'm a big Laura Scudder's fan.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. I love Laura Scudder's. I was raised in a Laura Scudder's home. But I'll also eat Jif if it's there.
Yeah.
Not Justin's.
Can
Justin's
I turn you on to one?
Yeah, of course.
If you haven't had it.
Sure.
And I'm going to guess that most people would not gravitate towards this because it's so ubiquitous, the name, and they're not really known for peanut butter.
Hmm.
Ready?
Yes.
I am.
Smucker's All Natural. I want you to taste it.
Is it glass or plastic?
I think it's glass.
I think I've had it before.
I just happened to see something online where this thing won, like, some kind of competition. I was skeptical, but
I
ordered
competitions when it comes to food.
I ordered
famously.
I ordered a jar of it. There's a picture of it. We're looking at it right now.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, that one, the first one on the left.
The one that copied Laura Scudder's very obviously in all.
Meggie,
the
order it. Meggie, order six.
One click shopping.
Order a pallet.
I'm telling
get
you,
for Phil.
It tastes like just fresh roast peanuts in a very delicious way.
I love that.
I want you to taste it.
Okay.
Peanut butter is one of the few foods that gets me really patriotic.
Yes.
Because it's a very American thing. And it's a lot, it's like root beer, where a lot of Europeans will come over and be like, I don't understand. Why would you like this thing?
I'm a terrible chef. I don't have the talent, the temperament, the patience, anything about cooking. I'm terrible. So when my kids were growing up, I would say, would you like me to make you something? And they say, oh, yes. And would you like Daddy's famous peanut butter and jelly? And they were stupid and they believed this was famous. And I would make, or Daddy's famous eggs, or Daddy's famous, you know, hot dog.
Famous.
Yeah, famous. Or just say famous to your children. They'll believe you.
I'm learning so much about relationships and parenting.
And then they'll be terribly disappointed when they learn things.
Yeah, you've been drinking for long enough. All right, at Buckeye Knight says, the Yum Brands combination restaurants were the definition of wasted potential, denying the public a Taco Bell burrito battered and fried in KFC's 11 herbs and spices is a crime. You seen the Taco Bell KFC hybrids?
Yes, in New York. They have like, you know, three or four of these fast food places together so you can get whatever.
But they won't let you exchange the ingredients into individual, so you can't get a fried chicken burrito.
Oh, yeah,
because
it would be too confusing. I mean,
too confusing.
But don't you want it?
I guess.
Don't you want it, Phil?
I'm not going in there.
Fair enough.
You know, because I'm over 20. So I'm not going.
Fair.
Right?
That's fair. I have a very soft spot for Taco Bell, and I think they do very good cookery there.
Oh, I'm sure you'll live a long time then.
Their beef sauce, Phil, it's a bolognese. It's a ragu de Taco Bell, and it's beautiful. It's basically Italian food.
Wow.
Nicole?
I mean, I already do this at my job. Like, I don't need to eat this. You know what I mean?
All fair.
We do this all the time.
What do you do?
We combine things. We mix things. We mash things.
I love a mashup.
I don't need to see this in the wild. Like, it's already been done in our heads probably.
Don't crap where you eat, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hey.
Well, it saves time in the morning, though.
Okay.
Do it at the same time.
I'll tell you about my Special K Red Berries incident.
Oh, don't tell the guests about it.
It's a good, on your podcast, on Naked Lunch. It's called Naked Lunch. This was
okay,
a naked breakfast.
You can talk about your naked breakfast with the KFC Red Berries.
Okay.
Well, not right now, but later.
I don't think I want to hear it at all.
No, he's gonna tell you. Ollie Sauce says, shallots are to onions what poblano peppers are to green bell peppers. I will not be taking any questions at this time. This is what Ollie says.
All right. Enjoy yourself with that knowledge.
Shallots are to onions are what poblano peppers are to green bell peppers.
Yeah, so they're saying shallots just have more flavor and therefore more use potential than onions. Ditto with poblanos. Green. This is how I cook. This is how I cook at home. I agree.
Mm.
I use shallots all the time.
I like shallots.
I use poblano peppers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Phil makes famous peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
That's right.
And that's beautiful.
I don't even have the intellectual capacity for this argument.
I like shallots. More people should eat shallots. Pickled shallots, fried shallots, shallots in everything.
Jean shallot?
Jean shallot, yeah, nice mustache.
He was a, ooh, you know who he was.
Yeah, I understand, I love that. Like, references. I, like,
but do you really only know that from a Family Guy reference? Phil, we only know that from a Family Guy reference, yeah.
But it's I'm a reference nonetheless.
I'm old enough to know who Gene Shalit was. Not only that, I managed a deli in New York when I was 21 years old. Yes, in 1981. That's how old I am. And Gene Shalit lived in the building and would come in and talk to me.
Cool.
That's and we'd talk about movies and
TV. Do you remember
TV.
His order?
No.
Do you remember your order?
I ate everything like that. I gained 15 pounds there. That'll tell you how dangerous. Yes, how dangerous a writer's room is. I gained more weight as a writer than I did as a deli manager.
Wow.
That's twice unreal. As much weight.
I want to see your weight tracked by your current job, and I want to gather the data.
Do you know that I don't gain a pound when I do the show? Because I'm running around so much, I don't finish anything, and I'm working out every day.
Good.
But when I'm home and I'm off duty, that's when the pounds come. Because I'm not doing it. And I'm off the clock. Nobody's watching. I think a very good diet for people is to have four cameras following you around at all times.
Yeah, you're right.
You wouldn't stuff your face so much because people are looking at you.
You should write a diet book. You should write one of those. You have the one simple trick.
That's it. Travel with a film crew.
Yeah.
Wait, we have a hot take that we actually need you to weigh in on because Nicole and I did a podcast, pastrami versus corned beef.
Oh, yes.
Where do you stand on this?
Pastrami. Yeah. More flavor. Yeah. For me. I understand the corned beef. I understand people might not want the pepper on there. But the best sandwich maybe in L.A.
Talking Langer's number 19?
Yes, my friend Josh. Yes, sir. Yes, you, yes, Nicole. Yes, yes.
I like it. Yeah, no. We've come together. On the shoulder is
just
good.
In time for the end of the show. We've joined in an agreement.
We
isn't
did
that
it.
Nice.
I feel like you should say a prayer or something. Nicole, you kick it off.
What do you want me to do? Eloheinu melech haolam. Which one do you want to
pray for the sandwich?
probably hamotzi. Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
Right. That's the bread part.
Amen.
I did it.
Is there a prayer
Maggie,
for the pastrami?
Maggie, I did it. It was, yeah, it was right.
That's
it was hamotzi.
Good.
There you go.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, you actually, Nicole.
Yes,
you
I am the most Jewish.
You
know what?
Yes, Nicole is queen Jew.
You might have just gained or lost a ton of listeners.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll check the numbers later. It's not important.
Oh, God. On that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. And Phil, thank you so much for joining us. Where can our listeners hear from you?
There's the podcast, that's Naked Lunch Podcast. There's the little TV thing called Somebody Feed Phil. There's the book that's coming called Somebody Feed Phil the Book. Mm-hmm. You can pre-order that now. Do me a favor.
Yeah, but what else? Is that all you got going
on? You can see me in my house where I live with Monica and the dog Murray. You can see me on Instagram, phil.rosenthal.
We put Phil's home address in the description.
No, we have not done that.
I'm going to start a TikTok.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's right.
I can't wait.
I'm excited dance. About this project.
Savage by Megan Thee Stallion.
If you want to come see Phil dance, go to his home. It'll be really beautiful. And if you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hendizade with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
But don't be stupid.
That's what we've learned from Phil. Check us out on YouTube over at Mythical Kitchen. We launch new videos every week. You know the deal.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your delicious dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
And don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid.
One last time.
I love you both.